There's a lot of times as we go through, or every time we come together, we kind of just take things as a given. I mean, so everybody knows about baptism, and we talk about it all the time. And so I want to talk about scriptural baptism, because it is an important subject, and it is a soul-saving subject. So we do need to talk about this, and we need to discuss it, and we're going to look at exactly what it is and what it does. And of course, we have several reasons. First of all, the reason why we must teach on this subject is because there is error taught by many others on this subject of how one is saved. You look at all of the denominations out there, very, very few of them actually teach baptism is for the remission of sins. Even though we have plenty of Bible to tell us that, there's plenty teach that it is not necessary for salvation. There's plenty say that you're baptized because you're already saved. And we have all this false doctrine out there. And of course, if they keep teaching false doctrine, you say something long enough, someone's going to believe it, right? Doesn't matter if it's true or not. And we see that. We see it in our politics. We see it in the news media and other places. You say something long enough and people eventually start believing it. This subject is also ignored by so many. And we've seen, yes, in the past 50 years, the proliferation of what they call the sinner's prayer. Just say this prayer and then you'll be saved. And say this prayer and you don't have to worry about your soul anymore. Your soul will be saved no matter how you live and stuff like that. So it is ignored. But we must teach this because it is a Bible subject, as in all the things we teach, because the Bible addresses it, because we have direction from the Word of God. Yes, we have to teach on this. And it's not a subject we just need to just take for granted that, okay, everybody knows what it is and go on our way. Because honestly, a lot of people do not understand baptism. Even those inside the church, a lot of them do not understand it. And when it comes down to it, they cannot articulate to somebody, well, why do I need to be baptized? A lot of I don't know. I mean, that's the way some are. We need to be thoroughly familiar with this subject because souls depend on it. There's souls at stake. And people are going to be lost if they don't understand what baptism is all about and if they're not baptized the right way. And there's a lot of people who have been deceived into thinking, well, my baptism is valid, and they've been told that. They honestly feel that way. But then the question comes up, is it really according to the Scriptures? See, there's a lot of these, like I said, a lot of these denominations, they talk about baptism as being the something you do after you're saved. And then it's kind of like making a commitment to Christ. And that's what they teach. The problem is you can't teach someone error and they be baptized right. I don't think you can. And it would be a very rare thing indeed, honestly. A very rare thing indeed that someone really, after studying the Scriptures, they come to the understanding of it and anybody would agree with them. Many years ago, back in 1918, there was this Baptist preacher and his neighbor were sitting down by the bank fishing. And one of them had their Bible with, so they looked and read the subject of baptism. And the guy who wasn't a Baptist, he says, I understand that baptism is for the remission of sins. Will you baptize me? And the Baptist preacher kind of hee-hawed around it. Well, I really don't believe that, but I'll go ahead and do it. He's the only Baptist preacher ever excommunicated from the Baptist church, because he did something that is clearly taught in the Bible. So that's kind of strange. But anyway, another point is the wrong teaching is going to send someone to hell. And they may be all sincere thinking I'm saved and they might live a good moral life. But if they never gained entrance into Christ, they're still lost. So Jesus taught there would be those who teach the doctrines and precepts of men, Matthew 15 and verse 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. And the authority to determine the truth demands that in order to understand this subject, we must learn all of what the Word of God teaches on this subject. And believe me, when it comes to Bible subjects, there is a lot on this. You talk about some other subjects like the Lord's Supper, we might have 3-4 passages. You talk about the day that we assemble, we might have 2 passages or 3 passages if you stretch it a little bit. But when we come to baptism, there's a lot. And yet, it's so strange that the denominational world just ignores practically everything about baptism. Now, what is baptism? It comes from the Greek baptizo, that's the word transliterated, to immerse, to submerge for a religious purpose. It also means a cleansing, an ablution, or washing, not of dirt, but of spiritual impurities, or uncleanness, or sin. It is a washing. It is symbolic washing, as we're going to read later on, not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but of a clear conscience towards God, an appeal towards God. All right, Acts 22:16, Paul was told, "Why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." See, here's the perfect example that we need to show the denominations. Is when they say, well, just believe in your heart and you're saved. Wait a minute. Don't you think Paul believed? Paul, for 3 days, he was on his way to persecute Christians. He saw that light. It blinded him. And for 3 days, he didn't take food or water. He prayed diligently. He was sincere to the Lord. Then someone comes and says, "Why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Paul was still lost. And now these people tell us, well, just read this little thing and everything's going to be fine. It doesn't work that way. And we have the example in Scripture. It's also a symbolic action recognizing or portraying the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is the symbol of the gospel. Paul talked in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 2, 3, and 4 about this gospel. It is the fact that Jesus died according to the Scripture. He was buried and he raised again according to the Scriptures. And so that's the death, burial, and resurrection is the core of the gospel. The baptism is spoken of in the same way when we look at Romans chapter 6. We are buried with him in baptism, so that as he died and we were buried, so we are raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6 says, "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Now, what baptism does? It does a lot. There's about, I've seen preachers make lists of these things, and I've seen as many as 26 or 28 different things that baptism does. And it all is accomplished at the same time. But it is described as the new birth. And Jesus talked about that in John 3:3-5, where it says, and says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Then jump into verse 5, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And so that's what it needs. Baptism saves us. It's not belief, it's not faith, which, yes, we definitely need. But faith doesn't save us. Baptism saves us. 1 Peter 3:21, and corresponding to that, baptism doth also save you, or now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the same thing as he says here, like calling on the name of the Lord. When Paul was told to rise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I mean, calling upon his authority, as we're supposed to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so here's basically saying the same thing. It's through the resurrection of Christ, through our faith in Christ, we're making appeal. We're calling on God to cleanse us from our sins. And we're doing it because we're doing what God has asked us to do in order to do that. It brings about our salvation. In Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And so, yeah, we've all heard he who does not believe and is not baptized will not be saved. I mean, we've all heard that, or at least most of us have. Now, we don't have to worry about what is not said. What is important is what is said. All right, it is for the remission of sins. In other words, why do we need baptism? For the remission of sins. Why? Because sins separate us from God. As we begin our life and go through our life, eventually we're going to come to the point where we sin. We sin against God. And sin can come in either absolutely doing something that we're not supposed to do, and we know we're doing it, and we know it's wrong, we do it anyway. That is sin. But also, there's a lot of things God has told us that we're supposed to do, that if we don't do them, it is also sin. And then some people just basically are guilty of unbelief. I don't believe in Jesus Christ, as one might say. Guess what? You're in sin. There's no question about it. So sin is what separates us from God. That's what separated Adam and Eve from God. It was because of their sin. And all throughout human history, sin separates us and man from God. And what can man do to get back into a relationship with God? Actually, pitifully, nothing. Man can do nothing to get back into a relationship with God, and God knew it. So what did God do? He had a solution, and that was through the purpose of Jesus Christ. That's how it was going to happen, that we could come back into a relationship with God in order, and our sins have to be taken away in order for this to happen. So that's what Jesus did. He died on the cross for our sins. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins," or the forgiveness of your sins, "and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, you talk to these people in the denominational world, they take this word "for" in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness, because of that. You know, that word, it's a little three-letter word, EIS, E-I-S, and it's translated "for." 87 times in the New Testament, it is translated "for," and everybody's okay with that. But one time in Acts 2:38, oh no, it's not "for," it's "because of." That's because their human doctrine is more important to them than the Bible doctrine. So whenever you have that argument about "for," or that little bitty word, and really you're not going to come across that argument with common people. It's just going to be those who basically teach this doctrine. They're the ones who are going to stand up trying to defend why they do what they do, and they know they have to redefine certain terms or reinterpret certain terms in order to. That's the way it is with any false doctrine. And so, it's for the forgiveness of sins, for the remission of sins. Burn that into your brain, because that's what baptism is for. Baptism puts us into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are. Ephesians 1:3 talks about the fact that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. And that's where we need to be. We need to be in Christ. Now, the understanding here, how do you get into Christ? Well, let's put it this way. If you want to go into this room over here, into that room, what do you have to do? Well, the way I see it, there's a couple things. You can try and go through the wall, which would be kind of painful. Or you can go to the door. and go into that room. But you can't get there sitting here and say, well, I'm in that room. Well, mentally, I'm in that room. You cannot do that. I mean, that's a simple principle we all can understand. But in order to get into, we've got to go through the right way. Now, Jesus said he was the door. And you have to go through Christ in order to get in there. To get into a relationship with God, there's only one way. Jesus said it himself, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. So, in order to get into Christ, we have to go through the right door. Not a false door. Yeah, we could jump over here and climb into through that door over there. We could do that. But the right way to get into something is to go through the proper entrance. The right way to get into Christ is to go through the proper method. And the Bible tells us how we do this. In Romans 6:3, he's talking about we are baptized into his death. We're baptized into Christ through the death, burial, and the resurrection. And that's what we talked about in Romans 6. In Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. So right there, two passages saying how we're baptized, we're into Christ is through baptism. And there's no other way to get into Christ. So the meaning in Galatians, you've adorned yourself with Christ. We put him on. And that's how we do it. It's through baptism. Now when you talk about the plan of salvation, faith leads us to salvation. Repentance is unto salvation. Confession unto salvation. Baptism into salvation. So there's a difference. And some people just want to start thinking, well, faith is all I need. Or if I change my ways, or if I just confess his name, that's all I need to do. No! You have to be baptized into Christ. Baptism is authorized by God. We know that. We have it recorded in his word. Matthew 28:19, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, if let's put it this way. When you listen to all the teaching of the denominations, why did Jesus waste his time saying those words? Why didn't he tell people and instruct people, just say the sinner's prayer and that's all you need to do? Why didn't he do that? The reason is because the sinner's prayer is a product of man's imagination. And it is false. Now, baptism does nothing if done by itself. If we go out on the street there and grab somebody, bring them in here and dunk them under the water, we have not provided salvation for them. Same thing, maybe we force our children to get baptized. So, okay, get mommy and daddy off my back. I'll do it for them. That's the wrong reason. See, baptism, we must have belief in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. In other words, we need faith. Absolutely, we need faith. We never said we don't need faith. Some people say you need faith only, that's all you need, but that is wrong. According to the scriptures, if you're going to follow the scriptures, you're going to recognize that. But we do need faith. And it must be accompanied by repentance. Because our life before we come to Christ has been basically one of selfishness. It's one that I'm just doing what I want to do. Now, all of a sudden, I've got to change my ways. And start living for God. Start doing those things God wants me to do. And repentance is necessary. It must be accompanied with the confession, as we see the Ethiopian eunuch do. Well, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that confessing that, well, I believe Jesus is Christ, it says, I believe Jesus is Lord. I mean, that's what we acknowledge to mankind, and this actually continues on through the rest of our life. The person must be able to understand why they're being baptized. If they think I'm being baptized because I'm already saved, that's the wrong reason. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right. And definitely, this is something that infants cannot do. Infants cannot acknowledge God, cannot confess His name. Why do they even need to change their ways? There's no need for infants to be baptized. That's the product of a false teaching called inherited sin, that the sin of Adam has been translated through each and every person that's ever lived. That is falsehood. It is error. And the dead can't be baptized either for it to do them any good. There's a lot of groups. The Mormons do it, and some of the Mennonite groups do it, and there's others you can, by proxy, someone can be baptized for you. In other words, someone had a grandfather or an uncle they really cared about, but he never acknowledged Christ, so he died. Oh, he's going to be in eternity in hell. Well, wait a minute, I'll be baptized for him. You know, Christ died for him, so I'll be baptized for him. This is what it's all about. You know what that means. I think the Mormon rate now is about $50,000, but still, it's all about the money. And it doesn't do them any good. Even the scriptures tell us it. Why be baptized for the dead? So, since baptism brings about salvation, here's what also it does. It adds us to His church. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So that's what it does. It adds us to the church. See, it puts us into the body of Christ, which is His church, right? We have a lot of places talking about the body is His church. The church is His body. It's the body of the saved. And so we have in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." There's that word "into" again. This is the third verse, which talks about being into Christ. We're baptized into one body, no matter what our background, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. But something that a lot of people complain about is the fact that, well, you're just doing works. You're trying to be saved by doing works. Well, if that's the work of God, if this is what God wants us to do, we don't consider it a work. And it's not. Colossians 2:12 says, "Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead." Baptism is a work of God. God gave us baptism so that we can have a relationship with Him. So, we are buried with Him in that sense. But baptism should also translate and change us. If your baptism doesn't change you, then I don't know. You'll have to answer that for yourself. I mean, we've all seen people who want to get saved, they get baptized, but they don't change their ways. They just continue on. They might be in an adulterous relationship. They'll just continue on with that. They might be a thief and just continue stealing. And they're okay with that, but they are saved, so they think. Baptism is to change us. See, before we're baptized, we are of the world, living in the futility of our minds. And that's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. "But now we are made alive together with God through Christ Jesus." Ephesians 2 and verse 3. So the whole passage there talking about we were dead in our trespasses, separated from God, had no relationship whatsoever, but now through Christ Jesus, we're made alive together with Him through our faith. And it's by the grace of God, and by grace are you saved. It all fits in there. It's very simple. The Bible is plain that baptism is essential to salvation. And yet you try and bring that up and there's millions of people out there. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. Then they start talking about different kinds of baptism. You know, the Holy Spirit baptism. Well, that stopped back in the first century when they didn't need it anymore. They talk about the baptism of fire. Well, the earth is going to have that baptism of fire. It's going to be the final judgment. And then they talk about this kind of baptism, that kind of baptism. There's only one baptism. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 tells us that. There is one baptism. And what is it? It's baptism in water for the remission of sins. That's the only thing that'll put us into Christ. Nothing else will. Now, why do so many religious groups deny such? I can't answer that. Maybe you'll ask them about it. But what we do know is that based upon what the Bible teaches, without scriptural baptism, no person can be saved. No person can go to heaven unless they are scripturally baptized. So the question, and we've all been members here for a long time, you just have to ask yourself, was I baptized for the right reason? Did I obey the gospel in order to be saved, or was I saved and decided to get baptized? Or was I baptized to get mommy and daddy off my back or to please somebody else? You know, sometimes a husband will do it just to please his wife. And yet he really has no concern or care about Jesus or the church or anything like that. But I'll get baptized. That's something each and every one of you have to ask yourself. Did I do it for the right reason? And you must be fully convinced in your mind. But be careful not to be deceived, because God is not mocked. We know that. You got to really think about it. And was I baptized for the right reason? We have water ready back there if someone feels the need to be baptized in the right way, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and to confess his name, repent of your sins, and live the rest of your life for Jesus. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
I want to be a soul winner.